Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom to those who are watching with us today. And the message today is called Thou Shalt Not Covet, the 10th commandment, but certainly not the least commandment. And in 2 Timothy 3, we went over this many times, it talks about in the last days will be disastrous times. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, addicted to lust. And then it goes on in verse 4, boasters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim, on and on and on. And we know we're living in the most covetous society that I can imagine that it's ever been since creation, because we've never had a society that has all the things today to covet, and the debt-based system that we have to covet. You know, this weekend is in the world. It's the Saturnalia, the Christmas, the pagan weekend. And, you know, it's interesting. If you look at statistics, more people commit suicide at Christmas time than any other time. There's more depression. And why is it? Why would there be depression at a time that's supposed to be joy to the world and giving of gifts? Because it's the opposite. It's that people see in their life at this time what they don't have or what they want that they don't have. And in reality, we have a world today that has a culture of coveting. And this is where the problem starts. I'm going to get into the whole situation because there's different words for coveting in Scripture and what it means. But the fact that coveting is absolutely normal in society today, and people don't see it as sin. As a matter of fact, they did a study a little while ago on clergymen, and they found out that actually coveting was the only sin of the Ten Commandments that people never even confessed, because they didn't even see it as a sin. So it is a problem today, as we're going to see. The Scripture equates it with idolatry, and I don't think people really, really understand, you know, what coveting is. I know I gave a message a while ago, and I said, you know, that even if you have the money to buy it, if you have 10 coats and you go out and buy one just because you have the money, it's coveting. You're coveting. You're trying to get something that you don't need. And it's absolutely true. And that's the problem that in the debt-based society we have today, and in the overabundance of commercial Babylon, not physical Babylon America, but the system that they brought to the world, coveting is just something that, like I said, it's normal and it's not. Look, commercials, advertising, you know, talk shows and reality TV shows, the whole school system, the whole system of commercial Babylon and coveting to the world is completely normal, because in a debt-based system, unless you continue to covet and you keep buying things you don't need, then that system will fall apart. And that's why, you know, I mean, you could be totally broke, you could be in bankruptcy, and you can get a car with no money down, because that's the kind of system that we're dealing with over here. Let's go to Exodus 20 in verse 17, because let's read the commandment actually on this. And the commandment literally says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male slave, nor his slave girl, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that belongs to your neighbor. And Yahweh was pretty specific here. He went into different things. He could have just said, you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. But he's trying to show from within here all the different things that should not be being coveted and what coveting really, really is. And when we look at this definition of coveting, the word that's used here is, the Hebrew word is hamed. And it literally is to want what is not rightfully ours. So it's to want what is not rightfully ours. So the first thing we have to look at least this definition of coveting, is that under normal circumstances, it's not the thing itself that's wrong, because we'll see in some coveting, it is the thing itself that's wrong. But over here, it's the fact that Yahweh hasn't blessed us with it. We're coveting something that's not rightfully ours. So what do I mean by this? Well, if we look in the world, we live in such a world of discontent today, that people, and it's amazing, because I don't know how anybody that can be a true believer in Yeshua and have all the promises of the Bible being fulfilled in the days we're living in and be depressed. Of course, there's things that happen in our life. There's death, their sickness, whatever. I don't mean you can never be depressed. But I mean, how can you live in a state of depression when we have the Holy Spirit living in us and we're this close to the kingdom of Yahweh? This should be the greatest time of joy. And Yeshua said, I came to give life and give it more abundantly. And that abundant life was not in possessions. Because we're going to see, if you're striving for possessions, you're never going to be happy. And that's the problem. The single person is depressed because he's not married. The married person is depressed because they don't have children. The people that have a child is depressed because they don't have more children. And then the ones who have more children are depressed because they don't have grandchildren. The person who doesn't have a job is depressed because he's unemployed. The one who has a job is depressed because he doesn't have a better job. And do you see how when you're seeking the spirit of covetousness, there's no end to it? Because it doesn't matter whatever you have, it will never be enough. It'll never be enough. You know, in America today, America Babylon, I've talked to people that actually have $1 million and they're depressed. You know why? Because they say $1 million gets you nowhere today. You have to have $5 million or $10 million. And then there's people that are multi-millionaires and they lose everything. How could you have $100 million or $50 million and lose everything? Because you covet. You have more money than you could ever spend in a lifetime. I think I was trying to look, and I don't know if it was $1 billion, that if you spent 50 or something, if you spent like $13 million a day, you know, for 30 years, you couldn't spend $1 billion, you know. So we're talking about numbers that are absolutely ridiculous and things that you can never use. But that's the problem, that Satan, because it's a society of coveting and it's a culture of coveting, and constantly people are seeing through social media, you know, that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week now, people have iPods, they have television, they have internet, and they're constantly seeing other people and other people's life and what other people have that Satan is trying to tell them that they need. And it is the worst coveting time we've ever seen in our life. You've never had anything like this because we never had the tools to bring this coveting spirit out. And that's why if we really want to serve Yahweh, we really have to come out of this. You know, you have to come out of this. And the main reason is because if you're living in a state of covetousness, number one, it's a sin. It will take you out of the kingdom. It's idolatry because it's something you're putting before Yahweh. And it will totally keep you from a spirit of thankfulness to Yahweh. If we go to Jacob 1, 14 and 15, Jacob, the first chapter, 14 and 15, he says, but each one is tempted, what? By his own lusts. He covets and is seduced by them. Then having conceived, lust brings forth sin, and sin, having fully formed, brings forth death. So why are we tempted? We're tempted by our lust. And that's what Satan does. He puts the carrot in front of you. Like I said, whether you're driving a 15 or 20 year old car and this, wow, no money down, only $180 a month, and you could have this brand new car. And what they're not telling you is the minute you drive that car off of the place where you're buying it from, the car is worth $5,000 less. Within 2 years, it's 50% of what you paid. And the interest that you're paying on the car is all front loaded. So if you borrow $20,000 on a 5 or 6 year loan, after 2 years, you still owe $18,000 because you're basically paying the interest first and the principal later. And here it is. Now you have a car that's worth half of what you owe on it, and you're in debt over what? And then 2 and 3 years down the line, the car ain't new anymore. Now it's breaking down and now it becomes a burden, which it always does when you have a coveting spirit. And then you start to look, hey, maybe that 15-year-old car that worked all the time wasn't so bad. Kept it in good shape because it's a throwaway society. I did a message that was in the new Remnants Walk that's coming out probably this week on, you know, are you part of the throwaway society? Because that's if you have to have a coveting spirit to be that way. Because in the throwaway society, when you have a coveting spirit, if you get a rip to your shirt, you're not going to sew it. You throw it out and get a new one. You know, same thing with a car. Like I said, we used to joke, my uncle who used to buy a car like every year, they'd say, when the ashtrays got dirty, Uncle so-and-so would get a new car. It's coveting. It's coveting. And you know why? Because you want to look the best. You want to have what's more than somebody else. And like I said, and you know, it's interesting. Like I said, it's not the thing itself. Like I said, for a single to want to get married, that's a good desire. For a married couple to want children, that's a good desire. For an unemployed person to want to work, it's a good desire. But it's where the desire becomes an obsession. is where the coveting spirit comes in, where the desire becomes an obsession. Because, you know, hamad, like I said, is the word used for coveting. But if you just turn it in another form, hamuda means precious. That's what they call the children. When they see a little child, they say, oh, hamuda, you know, what a precious person. So that's what shows you the fine line of coveting. And the interesting part is, it is the only commandment that is in the thoughts. Every other commandment, that's why it's hard to see. That's probably why it's not repented of. Why people, you know, with the clergymen said people haven't repented of. Because if someone's stealing, if someone's lying, if someone's committing adultery, these are all sins that you could clearly see. Like I always say, with the Sabbath, you're either worshiping or working. It's a very easy thing to see. But with coveting, as we saw in the book of Jacob, it's something that's in your mind. So you could be coveting and no one could even know you're coveting, you know. But one sign is, if there's a brother or a sister that is always depressed or always down, you could pretty much guess that that person has a coveting spirit. Because coveting will take you down more than anything else. And like I said, it's not just possessions. It's coveting maybe, your husband or your wife you wish was better, you know, because you're comparing them to somebody else. It's coveting your position in the congregation, you know. Oh, I wish I was more of this and not this. It's coveting, oh, you know what, everyone else has spiritual gifts and I don't have any spiritual gifts. And it's coveting that. And it's always looking to what you don't have instead of thanking Yahweh for what you do have. Remember Psalm 23:1, right? A psalm of King David. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Yahweh is my... I love that scripture. You know, it's probably the most famous psalm in the Bible. But why is that scripture so great? Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not lack. What more do you need than that, right? If Yahweh is your shepherd, what on earth can you lack? Whatever you have, whatever, wherever you're living, whatever your job is, whoever your family members are, whatever your position is in the congregation, you know what it is? Yahweh gave that to you. That's where he wants you. That's where he puts you. And it doesn't mean we can't always be striving to be better. That's an Elohim-guided principle, you know, that we're going to do the best we can do at our job. But what it is it's that we're content in what he's given us. We're content. I know an uncle of mine that had a big influence on my life and being successful and teaching leadership. And I told him a few years ago when I met him when I was in America, I said, Uncle so-and-so, you know, I realize that success is not having more, but it's being satisfied with less. And he kind of thought for a minute and he said, yeah, that's the way I think. But it is true. That's what success is. Success is not always striving for more, because if you keep striving for more, you're never going to have enough. Success is trying to better yourself, like I said, as an Elohim principle. But it's that you're bettering yourself because you want to be the best for Yahweh. But it's being content in the position that Yahweh's given you. It's not always coveting something that Yahweh hasn't given. You know, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. If we covet, we will never have a spirit of gratefulness. We'll never be content. A coveting person is never content, no matter what you give them. They're never grateful, they're never content with what Yahweh's given us. So we need to be grateful for where we're living, for our work, our family, our education, our health, where we're born. We have no, you know, whether we were born in Babylon or you're born in Africa, it wasn't your decision. That's where Yahweh put you. And you have to be content at this moment on where you are. And like I said, it doesn't mean you don't better yourself. But what it means is that you're not always thinking the grass is greener on the other side, which brings a spirit of covetedness and discontent. Another definition of coveting is the Hebrew word arva, which means desire, but it's a wrong desire. If we go to Amos 5 and verse 18, he says, woe to those coveting or desiring the day of Yahweh. What is this for you? The day of Yahweh is a day of darkness and not light. So this word here is coveting in a bad way. It's a lust or a desire in a wrong way. Just like it talked about Lot's wife, when she looked back with satisfaction, you know, that she was happy that these people were all getting destroyed over there. So in this case, like Yahweh's saying, who are you to look forward to the day of Yahweh? It's going to be the worst time the world has ever known. And why would we be looking forward to that? It's not a right desire. We should be looking forward to Yahweh's kingdom. And unfortunately, the day of Yahweh has to come first, and his destruction on the world for their sin. But it's not something that we should covet or we should really desire in an envious or revengeful way. Going to a place of safety, right? There's people that their whole focus is on being protected, whether that's going to be somewhere in Jordan, right? Or somewhere else in the Middle East, in Israel. It doesn't really make a difference, but those people know they're going to be there. Even if they have to camp out there and live there for 20 years waiting for it. And I know people that have done that, you know, that they think Petra down in Jordan is the place of final protection, and they're going to just camp out there and they're not going to miss the boat. But this is where they're coveting something. Because you know what? In the end of the day, when the time comes of Yahweh to take his people to protection, you're either going to go or you're not. And it really has nothing to do up to you. Where it matters, if you really want to make sure that you're going to be accounted worthy to escape, like we're supposed to pray to that, then it's what we're doing now. It's living every day for the kingdom of Yahweh. It's working for Yahweh every day. It's having your focus on Yahweh, not on the worldly things. But if you have a covetous spirit and your focus is on the worldly things, not only will you be depressed because you don't have, you know, what you're never going to have, because whatever you have, it'll never be enough. But remember, this is Satan's system. This isn't the kingdom of Yahweh. So why on earth would you covet Satan's system? Satan's system is a black hole. It doesn't matter what he gives you, as we're going to see. Solomon, the richest man that ever lived, was the most depressed guy who ever lived. Because the more you get in Satan's system physically, the less you're going to lack spiritually. It's that simple. And our desire should be for what? Our desire should be for thankfulness to Yahweh for everything he's doing for us, and wanting to just serve Yahweh in any way we can and serve his people. That should be our desire. Let's go to the next definition of coveting. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. And I'll read from verse 3 down to verse 11. He says, if anyone teaches differently and does not consent to sound words, those of our Master Yeshua Messiah, and to the doctrine of the fear of Elohim, he is proud, understanding nothing. Right? And coveting spirit will lead to self-righteousness. There's no doubt about that. But harps upon the use of a word concerning doubts and arguments, and this is the cause of envy and controversy, evil speaking, evil suspicions. Meddling of men whose mind has been corrupted and deprived of the truth, who think that worshiping of Elohim is for worldly gain. Keep away from such people. But our gain is greater contentment, for it is the worship of Elohim. Our gain is greater contentment. And that's why I say, is if you're close to Yahweh, if you have that relationship with Yahweh, if you're walking with Yahweh every day, and you feel him in your life, nobody can take that away from you. Satan can't take that away from you, and he can't get people to take that away from you. And people that are discontent, right, and sometimes they even will attack you because they perceive that you have something they don't have. Sometimes it's even just your relationship with Yahweh. It's not going to change anything. It won't change anything because our gain is greater contentment. And as long as you're content with what Yahweh is doing in your life, there is your gain. It is the worship of Elohim. And the more you worship Yahweh, the more content you're going to be. And that's the key to life. The key to life is focusing on it. And like I said, I'm doing it every day of my life. And particularly in the Shemitah year, how much Yahweh has blessed me in my life. And how blessed we are to be called children of his, to live in this time, for him to reveal all these things, you know, to see all the things I've seen in Israel. You know, between the Tabernacle of David and the real Gilgal and the Red Sea crossing site and on and on and on, the real Sodom and Gomorrah, and all these things that Yahweh blessed me with, that I could be just as easy a Catholic who's going to all Catholic churches thinking that that's right when it's not. So we should be so thankful for the truth that Yahweh's given us and all the blessings he shares with us every day of our life. For we have brought nothing into the world, and it is plain that neither are we going to carry anything out. But having food and clothing, let us be satisfied with these. Well, do you realize he didn't even say shelter? Having food and clothing, let us be satisfied. Not even shelter, you know? So that's what I said. This covetous spirit of Babylon, where, wow, it's not even food and clothing, but it's the best food in the world. It's the most expensive clothing, and it's getting rid of your clothing. There's people in the workforce, and many of them, and if you live in the West, you know what I'm talking about, that every week they'll buy new clothes because they can't go to work wearing the same thing twice. Talk about coveting, huh? Talk about this system of this crazy system that people give into. And that's just absolutely crazy. But having food and clothing, let us be satisfied with these. But those purposing to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all evils. Remember, it doesn't say money is the root of all evils. There's brethren, some brethren, that have well off, that have been blessed by Yahweh, and they're using their resources for the kingdom of Yahweh. You don't have to feel guilty because Yahweh's blessed you with resources and money. You should be thankful for that. Because it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. It's the coveting of money that's the root of all evil, by means of which some have lusted after it, right? Coveted after it, which seduce from the faith, and they themselves pierced through by many pains. But you, O man of Elohim, flee these things and pursue righteousness, holiness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, the fruits of the Spirit. Right? If we're seeking those fruits of the Spirit, if we're studying them every week and meditating on them, how can I have more faith? How can I have more love? How can I have more patience? Then we're not going to be coveting other things, you know. We want to ask Yahweh. We want to ask Him for the right things. Are we praying for the fruits of the Spirit? Are we praying for physical things that we want in our life? So, coveting spirit, always wanting more and not being satisfied. So this definition of coveting is an obsessive or envious desire. So it's something that now, like we said, it's not just something that Yahweh hasn't blessed us with, but it's actually an obsession to want things, an obsessive desire of it. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5 says, "Do not labor to be rich. Cease from your own understanding. Will your eyes fly on it? And it is not, for surely it makes wings for itself. It flies into the heavens like an eagle." And I can tell you that firsthand from my life, you know, that I've seen this. You know, when I was younger, like I said, got in the business at 12 years old and always saved, always responsible with money. And you just think it's always going to go up and up and up. But then all of a sudden, one day you hit a problem that's unforeseen, could have nothing to do with yourself, and boom, everything's gone. And you say, wow, that's what really made me put all of my efforts toward the kingdom of Yahweh. Because I said, I can live for 70 or 80 years toward mammon and wealth. And even if it doesn't go, I'm going to go. You know, I'm going to die. But if I work all these years for the kingdom of Yahweh, then He's promising me I'm going to get eternal life. And that He's going to reward me with eternal things, not things that are only going to last for a couple of years, if that. But we know that. Definitely when you're seeking money and mammon, they're going to take wings and they're going to go away. Ephesians 5 and verse 3 says, "But let not fornication and all uncleanness or greediness be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Also cursing and foolish talking or witty insults, none of which are necessary, but rather the giving of thanks." Like I said, to be praising and thanking Yahweh, we should be doing it every day of our life. "For you should know this, that no one guilty of fornication or an unclean person or a covetous one who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and of Yahweh." Wow. So this is why. Why is this subject so important? Because we have a culture of covetedness, right? We have a culture that it's fine and it's right, and it pushes everybody, believer or not, to have a covetous spirit. It's around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And now what does Yahweh say? He says it's idolatry, and He puts it in the same realm as fornication and unclean person. He puts it in the same realm as that. And He says that nobody who has a covetous spirit is going to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. So this is something where someone can't tell you because it's something that's in the mind. And nobody may even know that you're coveting or you're thinking these things, but Yahweh still says it's sin. And that's why each of us has to go on our hands and knees and we have to ask Yahweh to reveal these things of our heart and find out, do we have any covetous spirit in us? But like I said, one way to get rid of it is by thankfulness. Because you can't be, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can't be praising and thanking Yahweh for everything you have and then coveting things you don't have at the same time. And it's a lack of faith. That's why it's idolatry. Because you do it for lack of faith. Because if you have true faith in Yahweh, then you're going to say, you know what? What I have, I trust that this is what I need right now. That, you know, if I had more physical possessions, maybe I would deny Yahweh. Remember what he said, make me not too rich that I forget you, or too poor that I beg. That was the prayer that was there in Scripture. So sometimes Yahweh, we have to have the faith that we have in life exactly what we need at that time that Yahweh's given to us. And it doesn't mean that we can't aspire, you know, for more, but we have to trust that where we are today, where we are now, is what Yahweh wants us. This is what he's given us now, and we have to overcome this. I say that with truth. There's new people that come into the faith, and Yahweh will show them a truth. It could be anything. It could be the Sabbath or Babylon. No matter what it is, it doesn't matter. But I always say to them, if you don't act on that truth, you think he's going to give you more truth? Of course not. How could he give you more truth if you're not acting on the truth you have? And the same way now, what you have today and what you're going through today, Yahweh's put that there because that's what you need right now. And if you're not being satisfied with this and you're not focusing on that and overcoming what you need to now, how on earth is he going to bless you with more things afterward? Jacob 4, book of Jacob, back to the book of Jacob, chapter 4. Very interesting chapter, particularly on this subject. I'm going to start in verse 1 of Jacob, the fourth chapter. He said, from where come conflicts and fightings from among you? Is it not from your lusts warring in your members? You covet, and yet you do not have. So it even shows you, does coveting ever make you happier? Of course not. You know, when I was a young believer, I realized that when Yahweh shows you something, in the end, you're going to come to believe it anyway. So you're much better on changing right in the beginning, no matter what it is. And then you're not going to go through the trials. Instead of fighting and fighting and fighting and going through this circle of trials and then coming in the end saying, oh, now I realize it. So it's the same thing here. The word is telling us coveting will never lead to the satisfaction you're looking for. So why do it? It's only going to make you selfish, self-centered, and unhappy. It's not going to give you. And that's why Satan wants you to covet. Because it's a way that he knows will limit Yahweh's spirit in working in your life. And yet, you're not going to get anything from it. It only has bad results. So he's saying, why do you have fighting and conflicts? And it's from coveting. Because people will be fighting with somebody else, and the person they're fighting with doesn't know it, that the reason why this person is fighting with them is because they're coveting something maybe that person has. You know? So here it is. Maybe you're wanting a new car. And then so-and-so comes into services that week, and they were blessed with a new car. So instead of where one member is blessed, we're all blessed, right? And saying, wow, that's so happy. Because you know what? Even though I didn't get the car now, at least my brother got one. No, what does somebody do? They get bitter and they get angry as if there's one car in the world. Like there was one car and it was either going to be me or him and he got my car. Of course not. There's millions and millions of cars. And he didn't take your car. Yahweh didn't bless you with that car, but Yahweh blessed him with the car. Like the parable of the workers in the field, remember? Where the workers were given a denarii a day, and the ones who worked the longer hours, when they saw the ones who worked only 1 hour got the same denarii, what were they saying? Hey, you're not being fair. And what did the boss say? You know, is your eye evil because my eye is good? Isn't it my money? Can't I do what I want with my money? So if Yahweh is blessing someone with something, and it's not you, instead of getting bitter, why don't you get thankful for that brother? Why is life about you? Why is everything, the world is going to be happy as long as I get what I want? Our calling is 100% opposite from that. It's better to give than to receive. And anybody who's a true believer with the Spirit of Yahweh knows this. That although you're very, very thankful when people give you things, particularly if it's something you do need, you feel much better when you can give something to somebody else that they need. So get your mind off yourself. Stop being so selfish. And anybody who, when somebody else is being blessed with something that they wanted and is bitter over that, you should be ashamed of yourself. And that shows you have to change. It shows it's coveting and it's just selfish desire. You know, you got to get in your mind. The kingdom is not about you. The kingdom is about outgoing concern for other people. So, continue, and here you covet, and yet you do not have. You murder, right? What does he mean? He doesn't mean physical murder. He means murdering by jealousy. And are jealous, and you are not able to possess. So it doesn't work anyway in the end. You fight, and you strive, and you have nothing, because you do not ask. You ask, and you do not receive, because you do not ask sincerely. You ask in order that you may satisfy your own lusts. Anything we're praying for should always be an ultimate better purpose for somebody else. There's nothing that we're blessed with in life that should only be for us. No matter what the blessing comes, it should always be to use it toward other service toward other people. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity, hatred with Elohim? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy to Elohim. This is where it comes from. This covetous spirit comes from. This cutthroat in the corporate world of, man, don't make friends with that guy who's above you, you know, because you've got to cut him down if you want to take his position. This cutthroatness that goes on there. And even they put shows on TV, these reality TV shows, that people love this stuff. They love to see. And who winds up becoming the president of the United States? A guy that had a show for whatever it was, 14, 15 years, on just that. Donald Trump had a show for 15 years. That's what he did. He got real people in life to work against each other and cut each other down. And whoever was allowed to be cut down gets fired. And now he's the president of the United States. And now you know what people are saying? Yeah, he's going to do that same thing for us to other countries. It's coveting. It's a coveting spirit. And you know, things may look good now in certain ways, but you better look out. Pride comes before the fall. And the coveting spirit that's out there today is getting ready to be taken down. Or do you think that vainly the scripture says, the pride dwelling in us, lusts with envy? But he gives greater grace. Because of this, it says, Yahweh sets himself against proud ones, but he gives grace to humble ones, right? Because pride, self-righteousness, thinking you're better, that's satanic. That's exactly the spirit of Satan. Then submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right? Not the other way around. Submit to Yahweh. The first thing we have to do is humble ourselves, submit to Yahweh, and part of that submission is keeping the 10th commandment of not coveting. And then we resist the devil. You can't do it on your own. Like he says here, if you try to do it on your own, you're never going to get what you're looking for. Draw near to Elohim, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded ones. Be distressed and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to shame. Be humbled before Yahweh and he will exalt you. So that's the point. We need to have the faith to know what Yahweh wants to bless us with, he'll do it in his good time. And we shouldn't be having a covetous spirit and being discontent when we're not getting what we want. And when we are blessed with something, we need to use it to bless somebody else. Look at verse 17. Therefore, to anyone knowing to do good and not doing it, it's sin to him. Okay, I need a new car, right? My car is breaking down. I need the car to get to work. So Yahweh blesses me with a car. It's not just like, great, Yahweh, thanks. Now I can get what I want. No, now it's like, you know what? Maybe I can pick up two widows now for services. Maybe I can use my car on Sunday for the congregational to help to bring people, transport them or transport food to the soup kitchen they're working that Sunday. Any single thing that Yahweh blesses us with, we should be thinking on how we can bless somebody else. That's Yahweh's economy. That's the way that Yahweh's economy works. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 10, because you know something? Competition is of the devil. And our family, we do not get involved in any kind of competition. I don't care if it's as simple as sitting there and going over scriptures. Who knows more than the other? That's competition. It's never going to lead to something good. And I've seen it. I've seen as simple things as playing a game where you ask each other Bible questions, where it turned into such competition of somebody wanting to know more than the other person. And that's not the way of Yahweh. There should never be a winner and a loser when you're playing a game. Everybody should be a winner. Why are you playing games where one person will win, one person will lose? Why are we playing games where we're trying to see who knows more than the other one, right? Why don't we do it with our children where they all work together in one team? Why is it one to see who knows more than the other child? It's not from Yahweh. Competition is not from Yahweh, and competition will lead to covetousness. Because then it's going to show who has more, who has less. It's not the spirit of Yahweh. And if we look here, 2 Corinthians 10:12. He says, so that he that thinks he can stand, let him be careful that he doesn't fall, right? That's what it leads to. Coveting leads to pride. No temptation is taking you. I'm in 1 Corinthians. I like that one. I just read it, but I'm not going to go to that one now. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. He says, for we dare not rank or compare ourselves with some of those who are proud of themselves. For it is because they measure themselves by themselves that they do not understand. But we will not boast beyond measure, but according to the measure of the rule which Yahweh has distributed to us, a measure to reach even to you. So again, we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to each other. I'm not going to look at another brother or sister and say, well, let me see, do I have more faith than him? Do I have more patience than him? No, that only brings competition, and it's really not wise. Because you know what? Maybe I don't have more faith than that brother, but that brother may be on his way to lake of fire. You know, so I want to compare myself to one. I want to compare myself to Yeshua. That's the one I want to compare myself to, because he's my goal, not another brother or sister. Yeshua is the goal of the Torah. And when we compare ourselves to each other, all we bring is a competitive spirit, and it brings covetedness and enviousness. Drop down to verse 17. But the one who boasts, let him glory in Yahweh, right? Giving praise to Yahweh. For it is not the one who praises himself who is approved, but the one whom Yahweh commends. So that's what we want at the end of the day. We don't need praise from each other, although it's good to show appreciation to somebody who's doing something good. But what we want to hear is, well, good, you know, well done, good servant. Come and inherit the kingdom that my Father has prepared for us. We want to hear that on Judgment Day from Yahweh and Yeshua. That's what we want to do. Everybody is in the body of Messiah as it pleased Yahweh. So we have to appreciate each other. Our gifts are different, and we have to build up each other's gifts. We have to use those gifts together, and it's not a one-man band. Everybody has to appreciate everybody's gifts, and that's all judicial order is. That each of us, Yahweh, is put in the body where it pleased him, and we're all working together and submitting to each other for that common goal of the kingdom. And that's what it's about. And it is so contrary to the spirit of coveting. The spirit of coveting is all about self and pride and what somebody wants, you know. And why? Why does one person have to do anything? Why does this guy have to be an elder? Or why does that person have to do this? Why? Why? Why can't we all be where Yahweh put us? Why can't we use the gifts that Yahweh gave us instead of coveting somebody else's gift? Philippians 4. Philippians, the fourth chapter. In verse 11. Philippians 4 in verse 11. He says, not that I speak as to need, for I have learned to be content in whatever state I am in. What a great scripture, right? So Paul is telling these people, right, that they've given him substance that they've had to help him in his ministry, and he's thanking him. But he's saying, not that I speak of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever state I am in. And I know what it is to be poor, and I know what it is to be rich. I've gone through many things and experienced many things, both to be filled and to be hungry, both to have plenty and to be in need. And I can do all things through Messiah, the one giving me the strength. Right? That's what we have to say. It's not on our own strength. It's on Messiah giving us the strength and what he did give us. And I've said this before. I'll say it now. I've been blessed in my life. I really relate to this. Because there's times where I've been in third world countries and I've been sleeping on straw. And there's times where I'm on my way back from a mission trip and my plane is delayed and they give me a $300 or $400 Hyatt Hotel 5-star room for nothing with meals and everything else. And not that I don't appreciate the 5-star hotel, believe me, it's really, really nice, you know. But to be honest with you, I think I like sleeping on the straw with my brothers and sisters even better. There's something with being with the brethren and being there together that you just love. But whatever Yahweh gave, I'm appreciative of both sides of it. And I'm appreciative of everything in my life that I have. And there's nothing in my life that I feel like, you know, oh, if I only had this or if I only had that. Because I know I have been given more than Yahweh could ever give somebody. So why would I ever want more than that? Just the fact that he called me out of the world. I think sometimes, where would I be if Yahweh never called me? I'm 30-something years in this walk. You know, I'm waning on the second half of my life now. You know, I'm past the top of that mountain, starting to come down. And you say to yourself, where would I be without the Spirit of Yahweh? And that alone, that he called me out of an evil, wicked, sinister, covetous world, man, I can't thank him enough every day of my life. And I know that every single thing, it's one of my empowering beliefs, that every single thing that Yahweh gives in my life, even the trials, are exactly what I need because he loves me. And that's what we need to have. We need to be thankful for everything and even the trials, because the trials are there to purify us. that we overcome. Philippians 3 and verse 20. Philippians 3 and verse 20. He says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also wait a Savior, the Master Yeshua Messiah." So again, why would we be coveting things in Satan's world, right? This is Satan's kingdom. It's already here. The kingdom of Yahweh, it's here as far as us being his representatives, his ambassadors. But physically, the kingdom of Yahweh is not on this earth yet. The kingdom of Satan is. Satan's kingdom is physically on this earth. It's everywhere you look. So why would we be coveting, no matter what it is, in Satan's system? You know, it could be mammon, education. It could be a job, whatever it is. Why would we be coveting insane system? What we would be wanting to do is our citizenship is in heaven, and we know that our reward, like it says, Yeshua will give his reward to all those when he returns. So why would we be coveting the things of Satan's system? It makes no sense, and it only makes you unhappy to do it. In Revelation 20, 4 through 6, Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6, he says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. And judgment was given to them, and the souls of the ones having been beheaded because of the witness of Yeshua and because of the word of Yahweh, and who had not worshipped the beast nor its image, nor had received the mark of on their forehead and on their hand, and they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one having part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of Yahweh and of his Messiah, and will reign with him 1,000 years. This is what we should be looking toward. And this is what we should be coveting in a good way. Like I said, remember the word coveting I said in the beginning. You know, it's not wrong for a single person to want a wife. It's not wrong for married people to want children. It's not wrong for an unemployed person to want a job. But it's the motive behind it. It's the fact of wanting it at the wrong time frame. It's the fact of coveting something that Yahweh hasn't is not rightfully yours at that time. And that's the point of it. Here is something where we can bank on this promise. In faith, we believe in this. And we know that this will be our reward if we're faithful until the end. We must have faith to trust in Yahweh for everything. Because, like I said, coveting is simply a lack of faith. It's simply taking it into your own hands and not trusting in Yahweh. And that's why it's idolatry. Because you're putting an Elohim before Yahweh by not trusting in him and just patiently and with joy waiting for Yahweh to do it. You have a better idea. You know, if you only had this or you only had that, then everything would be great. And unfortunately, even when you get it, it isn't great. Because coveting never leaves anything good. So it's a lack of faith in Yahweh. Don't try to bless yourself with things he never desired for us. How do you know it's the best thing for you? Trusting Yahweh. But simply pray to him and let him decide what he wants to bless us with. And he will bless us with all the heavenly blessings we could ever imagine. I'll tell you a quick story that just happened recently. About a year ago, we moved out of our place in Israel that we were living into another place. And we had to move pretty quick. And the place we lived in, it's a small cottage or cabin. Mariah likes to call it little house, like little house in the prairie, because it's a little house like that. And it's fine. We liked it. It's a little wooden house. But, you know, in my mind, I kept saying, like, if there was only one more room on this house, if there was only one more room on this house, it would be perfect. And then one day I was praying. I said, you know, I'm coveting. And number one, nothing's going to change. It doesn't have a room on the house. So why am I even thinking about this? Let me just thank Yahweh for that little house there, that little wooden house. And that's what my prayer was. Thank you, Yahweh, because it is a great little wooden house we have there. So then about a month ago, when I was out, you know, working, I talked to Petra, and she tells us that our landlord came and said that the community there are forcing her to build a room onto our little house because every house in Israel is supposed to have a bomb shelter. And the house originally, because it's small, it was really only to be used for people using it 1 or 2 days on a weekend. But now we're using it year round. So now the community is forcing her to build another room on there. So here it is. Yahweh will give you the desires of your heart as long as you don't covet. You know, and that's the key that I see. Like as soon as I stop thinking how better it would be to have the extra room, and I just thank Yahweh for what we had there, the next thing you know, he's giving the extra room. So it's amazing when we just trust in him. And then, like I said, that's all faith is. And coveting is simply the opposite of faith. It's simply not having the faith in Yahweh. Revelation 18. Revelation 18. Because now I want to talk about some about commercial Babylonism. Because like I said, it's a culture of coveting. And when you're in this culture and it's normal and the normalcy bias comes in, I'm telling you, even though most people will agree, they'll listen to this and say, wow, yeah, I really agree with you. I don't think sometimes if you're living in that culture, you really see how evil it is though. Because like I said, it is breaking a commandment, it is idolatry, and it will keep you out of the kingdom. So let's go into Revelation 18, because it really, to think of worldwide, now I'm saying not individually to us, but just worldwide, the system that Babylon has brought to the world, it is about as evil as a system as you can ever get. Revelation 18, it says, "And after these things I saw another cherub coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lighted up from his glory. And he cried with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, it is fallen, and it has become a dwelling place of those possessed by demons, and a home of every foul spirit, and a home of every unclean bird, even the home of every unclean and hateful beast. Because of the wine of the anger of her fornication, which all the nations have drunk, even the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth became rich from the power of her trade," right? It's a covetous system. "And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, leave the land of her, my people, that you not share in her sins, and you may not be receive of her plagues. Because her sins joined together have reached up to heaven, and Yahweh remembered her unjust deeds. Give back to her, as also she gave back to you, and double to her according to her works, and the cup which she mixed, double to her. What things she glorified herself and luxuriated by so much, give back to her torment and mourning, because she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, I am not a widow, I will never see sorrow. Because of this, in one day your plagues will come, death and mourning and famine. She will be consumed with fire, for Yahweh Elohim judging her is strong. And the kings of the earth will weep for her and will wail over her, those having fornicated and having luxuriated with her, when they see the smoke of her burning, standing far from afar because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe to the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour your judgment has come, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their merchandise any more." And I gave a message a while ago on Babylon and the spirit of greed, I think it's called. And when we're looking at this, like I said, to us, it's normal. You think that it's always like that, but Yahweh did not create a society where anything in the world you want, you can get without money. That's coveting. That's not coveting. Remember I said coveting is something that's in your mind. This is where you can enact out the coveting. But like we saw in Jacob 1, once you enact it out, then it's really sin. Then it's like a double sin that you're doing. And I said this before, and again, I've been predicting for several years now, the financial collapse of the world system that Babylon has created. And believe me when I say I'm not backing down 1 ounce from this. Because literally the only thing that's has stopped the system from collapsing up until now is they're just printing more money. The debt just keeps going higher and higher. So it's not like someone can say to me, well, you know, Don, you were wrong. America's out of debt now. Everything is good. They're producing all this. No. From the time that the whole system almost collapsed in 2008 and 2009, they've only doubled their debt from $10 trillion to $20 trillion, and they've only printed more money. And the product that they're doing, their gross national product, it's been about 1% to 2%. It's not growing. So believe me when I say that system, this debt-based system, the only way it can continue is by more debt. So if people got responsible the way the Bible says and said, you know what, this is what we're going to do. For the next 5 years, we won't buy a new car. We won't pay any more money than we need, and we'll all pay our debt down. You know what would happen? The system would collapse overnight because more than half the system is based on buying from debt. So it has to keep expanding by debt. And that's why interest rates have been down at zero. They purposely do that because if the rates came higher, it would collapse the system. It's not a financially sound system that's based on growth and production. It's only based on debt. And they're at the last phase of this now. So I don't know. Will it happen in the next 6 months? It could. Will it happen in the next 2 years, maybe? But it's not that far down the line because the debt is to a point now where the balloon is popping, where it's ready to go. But that's another point. You could listen to that message to understand that part. What I want to show is, though, that the system is completely based on sin. It is such an evil system from this because in order for this system to work, this debt-based system like they have, and these trade deals like NAFTA and GATT and the new one, the APP that or TPP that Donald Trump, President-elect Trump, has been talking about how bad of a deal it is. And that's one thing he is saying, how these deals where the American corporations are going around the world and they're having all of these sweatshops where children are working for 10 and 20 and 30 cents an hour. So people in Babylon and in the first world can get all these expensive goods. And some of these people are our brethren that it's affecting. I've been in Kenya and I've talked to the women that work all day. They put a baby on their back and they have a big carton on their back or basket that's on their back. And it will take them a whole day to maybe do one or two baskets. And they're getting 10 or 20 cents a basket with the child wrapped around them, you know. And why? Same in Sierra Leone, right? They literally, you can people sell their children for $50 to work in the diamond fields or work in the cocoa fields because they have to keep these prices at certain levels. And it talks about Babylon has created slaves of the souls of men. And man, you may not see it if you're living in the West and you're getting this, but even in the West, because salaries have not gone up in 20 years because of this. And that's why I say this system is getting ready to come down because it is an evil system, as we just saw here. The people that are mourning when the system falls apart are the merchants of the earth, the ones who have created all this wealth. And what did we say the definition of coveting is? To have an obsessive or envious desire. These people have billions of dollars. Some of them hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's not enough. They want to enslave the people to it. And the kingdom of Yahweh is the total opposite. The kingdom of Yahweh is if somebody needs something, I give it to them, right? I don't enslave them to work for me in order to get food and raiment, you know, like I said, clothing, not even shelter that we need, that we should be content with. But this is what Babylon has done. It's a system of debt that's simply from coveting. And you they're enacting this that, like I said, that anything that you want, whether you can afford it or not, you can go out and get. And it's coveting. It's a coveting spirit. Luke 16. Let's see what Yahweh says here about this. Luke 16 and verse 1. Luke 16 and verse 1. The unjust steward. And in King James and many translations, they really mistranslate this story and almost make it sound like the unjust steward is a good guy. By being dishonest, it's something that's good, but it's not. Let's listen carefully. And he also said to his disciples, a certain man was rich, and he had a steward, and this one was accused to him as squandering his wealth. And his master called him and said to him, what is this thing I hear concerning you? Give to me an account of your stewardship, for you are not able any longer to be a steward of me. So he's getting fired because he's squandering the wealth. He's not doing a good job. And listen what he says. And the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking away my stewardship from me. I'm not able to dig and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I will do, that when I am removed from the stewardship, they will receive me into their houses. And having called him each one of the debtors of his master, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 baths of oil. And he said, take your statement and sitting quickly, write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 bushels of wheat. And he said to him, take your statement and write 80. And the master applauded the unrighteous steward. And this is sarcastically, really, that he's applauding him. Because he acted prudently. For the sons of this age are more prudent than the sons of light themselves in their generation. Yeah, that's absolutely true. That in the world, the people know more how to manipulate, how to lie, and how to get around the system than the people of Yahweh. Of course that's true. But look at what the end result is. And then look what he says. And I say to you, this is what Yeshua is saying, if you make for yourself friends from the wealth of injustice, when it is consumed, and it will be consumed before the kingdom of Yahweh comes, they will receive you into their everlasting habitations. What is their everlasting habitations? The lake of fire. So what Yeshua is doing is he's not commending this guy. He's saying, yeah, this guy may be shrewd in a worldly sense, but you go down this route, when that money is gone and that mammon is gone, you're going to follow these people into the lake of fire. Because listen what happens. He who is faithful in the least is faithful in much. Was the unjust steward faithful in anything? No, of course not. He was not faithful. And he righteous in the least is also unrighteous in the least is also unrighteous in much. Then if you were not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true to you? And if you were not faithful in that of another, who will give to you what is yours, right? He wasn't faithful in his master, so why would he get what's his? No servant is able to serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or cling to the one and despise the other. You're not able to serve Yahweh in wealth. And being lovers of money, the Pharisees also heard all these things, and they mocked him. And Yeshua said to them, you are those justifying yourself before men, but Yahweh knows your hearts. For the thing highly prized among men is abominable to Yahweh. And this whole system that we see today is sickening to Yahweh. It's a sickening culture of lust, greed, coveting spirit, self-righteous justification. What do people say? I worked for it. If I want a 120-inch TV, right? I remember as a little boy, you know, we would have these 11-inch black and white TV set. And I remember the antenna would break and we'd stick a hanger in that antenna to get... And there'd be about six channels that worked on it. We were so happy because us boys, there were me and two brothers, we had our own TV in our room that, you know, old TV in there. Today, you know, then all of a sudden you see it go, 25-inch color TV. Wow, but that's not enough. Then there's a 30-inch, then there's a 40-inch, then there's a 60, and then there's an 80. What's it going to be? It's going to be that people are going to buy a TV house. I have one house for my TV and one house that we live in. I mean, how much bigger can it get? Everything. That's the point with coveting. It is never enough. It's never enough. Covetous spirit. And like I said, justification. It's not right simply because you have the money to do it. Because you're only thinking of yourself with the money. And it's selfish motivation. That's not the spirit of Yahweh. But we look, social media is self-consumed with vanity, pride, ambition, and lust. All part of covetous spirit. Everything is justified, right? Just don't judge. You know, somehow transgenders and homosexuals, they're looked up as brave. What's brave about that? It's a sad lifestyle that needs to be helped, and yet they look up at this as brave. The whole system is turned around. And that's why I say, and coveting is something that is actually looked at as something that's good. Abortion is a woman's right. Greed is deserved. We have to come out of this wicked mindset. And like I said, remember, every other sin is an action. This is a mindset. If you live in this mindset and think that it's okay, you will not make the kingdom of Yahweh. People and youth are brainwashed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with internet, iPods, taking pictures, videos, selfies. You want to know something? I know when I was growing up, if I would have sat there, and at that time we only had those cameras that were like 12 pictures, and then you had to bring it to the shop and they would get the 12 pictures and give it to you in a week. It's time. I remember waiting, can't wait after the vacation with the parents to get those 12 pictures back. Well, today, you know, and back then, if I ever had that little camera and I was sitting waiting for a bus and I was taking pictures of myself, then people would say, what kind of vain moron is this guy? Look at him. Look at that guy, right? But today, that's what happens. You know, if I'm sitting there waiting for a bus to go into Tveria, I see these teenagers, 13, 14, just picture after picture after picture, picture myself, take a picture. It's like, are they out of their mind? Are they out of their mind? And now it's not a camera anymore to take a picture of the nice mountain, to take a picture of the snow. It's to just take pictures of myself all day and then to put it on Facebook. Now everybody can see the picture of myself on Facebook. But wait, because in another minute, he'll put his picture. And then you could look at your picture and he'll look at his picture. Isn't this so great? Isn't it ridiculous? Isn't it idiotic? And yet it's normal. And it's all part of this coveting spirit. And it's normal. It's normal. It's not normal to me, though. You know, it's not normal to my family. Because it's actually ridiculous. It's actually ridiculous. YouTube. You know, YouTube started something good. You know what? People can put things on there and they can teach you how to do this. They can teach you how to make electricity. Now it's anybody will put anything on there. They just want to get their face on there. They want people to see, you know, me and my 30 pimples and look at me. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy that everything has become normal. Vanity has become normal. Coveting has become normal. Pride has become normal. And if you're not that way, you're the oddball. And that's what I feel like. Once I go out of my house, I feel like I'm an oddball out there. Because that's not me whatsoever. And I look at it, I feel, you know, you feel like you're from another planet. And unfortunately, it's really hitting the youth. And let me tell you something. You know, I'm talking about Babylon here, but it's not only Babylon, because I've seen it just as much in third world. It's human nature to covet. The reason why it's worse in Babylon is because they have more things. They have more of the iPods and the other things. But third world, just about everybody that I see down there has iPods. And boy, you talk about picture taking? You can't get more picture taking than in the third world. I mean, you know, you go to Africa, there's 200 people in that congregation. Every single one wants a picture with you. So that might not be wrong of itself, because you're the guest and you're the leader of the congregation. But there's the same spirit there. And I'll tell you a very quick story. When years ago we were in the Philippines, and they're not in our congregation now, so it's not our brethren that are in the Philippines now, who are wonderful people, but they were another congregation that was affiliated with us many, many years ago. And I went there, and there was about 10 elders I was working with, and we brought aid to them. There was a storm and different things, and we had about $500 left over. And I wanted to leave that $500 for all the brethren to do something collectively, whether it was to buy Bibles or songbooks or something that would help all the brethren. And the 10 elders wanted the money for themselves. And I said, okay, I'll leave it up to you. But let me just explain one thing. Number one, I think this money should go to all the brethren, that it could be used for everybody, because it was my own money that I was donating. I said, and if I give it to you guys, it's only going to be $50 for each one. I said, now I know you're poor. I know you don't have a lot of money, but which $50? It's a little bit more rice, but $500 is a lot that you could buy maybe even a vehicle that could help the whole congregation. I said, but I'm donating it. I'll leave it up to you. I didn't even get the words out of my mouth where all of their hands were toward me saying, we want the money, we want the money, we want the money. And my wife was with me. She almost wanted to throw up. She was just shaking her head saying, these are men of Yahweh? This covetous spirit? There's been other men in Africa years back that, I gave money to give to the poor. They stuck in their pocket, used it for themselves. So coveting is not something that just is held for the first world. It's all over the world. And I thank Yahweh now, at least, I do have many, many good elders around the world that I can work with, because that's always been the problem. The problem is, if only one man is doing something, then how much you can produce is only based on your one performance. That's the reason why I started the Bible school. That's the reason why I started training the elders and the ambassador courses. Because I know if I can take the gifts that Yahweh's given me and produce it through other people, then we can magnify the word of Yahweh throughout the world. And I praise Yahweh that finally, after 15 years of doing this, I do have good men and good elders around the world that are sacrificing and really are servants of Yahweh. But like I said, it's not just a thing of Babylon. It's something that is all over the world. 1 Corinthians 5 in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 5 in verse 9. Got to move along here. Because like I said, I know whatever mammon in this world is going to come and go, it's what's going to last forever. 1 Corinthians 5 in verse 9. I wrote to you an epistle not to associate with immoral persons, and not altogether with the fornicators of the world, or with the covetousness, or the extortionists, or with idolaters, since then you must leave the world. So it doesn't mean if a brother or sister is working out there and you're working in a job where there's people that aren't converted, you can't do it. But listen to what he says. But I wrote to you not to associate intimately. If anyone is called a brother and is either immoral or a covetous one or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortionist, with such a one do not even break bread to eat. For what business is it to me to judge the ones outside the congregation? But you may make judgments on those inside the congregation. But Elohim will judge the ones outside, and you will put out from yourselves those wicked people. So how important is this? It's something where Yahweh's saying we shouldn't even associate with people that have a covetous spirit, and we should put them out of the congregation. And I'm telling you, I hate to have to say this, but I've seen even at the feast time that there's people that have come to Jerusalem for feast time with shopping addiction. You know, I mean, sure, you come to Jerusalem, you might want to get a horn or menorah or a shofar. That's fine. I'm not there to judge. But I'm telling you, I've seen some ladies that have come there with an addiction where, I mean, they're just blowing money like anything. And some of them that actually didn't have enough money to come, and we helped them to come, and then they're spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on even the vendors are shocked. You know, the vendors in the stores are shocked to say, wow, this lady bought, you know, 50 t-shirts or whatever. It's an addiction, and it's sin. And if the people that are dealing with this, and probably most of to one degree or another, it is something that can keep you out of the kingdom. Matthew 16 and verse 21. Matthew 16 and verse 21. Because like I said, what makes it so hard is it's not always cut and dry. Because remember what we said. To want something that's not rightfully ours. So it's not the desire that's necessarily wrong, but it's the wrong intention. And that's why it's the only way to solve the problem is to have your mind filled with the Spirit of Yahweh. Matthew 16, in verse 21. He says, from that time on, when Yeshua began to show his disciples that it was necessary for him to go away to Jerusalem and to suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and to be killed and to be raised on the third day. That's his whole mission, right? And having taken him near, Peter began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, my master, that this should happen to you. But turning, he said to Peter, go behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you do not think on the things of Yahweh, but on the things of men. Then Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and let him bear his torture stake, and let him follow me. For whoever may desire to save his life will lose it, but whoever may lose his life for my sake will find it. For what will a man be benefited if he should gain the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give as an exchange for his soul? For it is necessary for the Son of Man to come in the glory of his Father, and then with his holy cherubs he will reward each one according to their work. Do we see it? Do we see it? That's what we should be striving for. Now here it is, right? Under normal circumstances, is this necessarily a wrong desire for Peter not to want Yeshua to be hurt? No. But what was it here? The desire was the wrong desire, like we said in Amos, who desires the day of Yahweh? Because he was looking, he didn't want Yeshua to leave because he wanted Yeshua near him. He wanted him there because he didn't have the faith to be on his own yet. And what does Yeshua say? Yeshua calls him Satan because he's looking on the things of man and not on the things of Yahweh. And that's why I say, this is something where each person, each of us has to go into our prayer closets and we have to pray to Yahweh to show us individually where we need to change with coveting. Because it's not somebody else that can come. You know, so sometimes you visit places and people ask, they say, hey, can you share with me if there's something you see them doing wrong? And it's like, no. And of course, if there was some outward sin that is evident, I think everyone in the congregation, but that's not my job. My job is not to look at anybody but myself and see what I'm doing wrong, unless it's outward, like I said, outward sin. I have to look in my own life as each of us do. But each of you need to do this. Because like I said, it's not so much in the thing involved, but it's in the wrong desire of it. And that's what we need to look at. And look what he said. What is the gain if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? And we see that very example in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 3. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 3. With Solomon, right? Solomon was the king, the greatest king of Israel, the most wisest man, the richest man. And listen to what he writes at the very end of his life. You would think at the end of his life, he's going to write a book just praising Yahweh for every single thing he gave him, praising Yahweh that he blessed him with such a fulfilled life, praising Yahweh that he gave him wisdom to deal in these situations. And look what he says at the very end of his life. Chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, starting in verse 3, he says, I explored with my heart how to drag my flesh with wine in leading my heart in wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, until I might see where the good for the sons of men is, that which they should do under the heavens, the number of days of their life. I made my works great. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted trees in them of every fruit. I made pools of water for myself, to water from them the forest, shooting forth trees. I bought slaves and slave girls, and the sons of the house were mine. Also livestock, a herd, and great flocks were mine, above all that were before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered to me silver and gold and treasure of kings and provinces. I made ready male singers and female singers for myself, and the delights of the sons of men, a concubine and concubines. And I became a great and increased more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom stayed with me. And all that my eyes desired, I did not set aside from them. I withheld not from my heart from all joy, for the heart rejoiced from all my labor, and all was my part from all my labor. Then I faced on all my works that my hands had done, and on the labor that I labored to do, and lo, All of it was vanity and striving after wind, and there is no profit under the sun. Wow. In the end of his life, instead of being thankful, everything was vanity. And that's why I say, when you have a covetous spirit, anything he wanted, he grabbed. Just the fact that he could, the fact that he was king, the fact that he had the money, it doesn't mean it was right. It was coveting. He was going after things that Yahweh never intended him to have. And we have to look at it the same way. Just because you can afford something, like I said, if you have 10 coats, and just because you can afford, you go out and buy a new one, you're coveting. You're coveting. You're coveting something you don't need. And the Bible says if you have 2 coats and your brother has none, you give him one. It doesn't say to acquire for yourself 10 coats and then get another one if there's a new style that happens to be out that year. So, Galatians 5 and verse 16. Because like I said, since this is something that's in our minds, a sin that starts in the mind, we have to enthrall ourselves with the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. But I say to you, if you walk in the Spirit, the lust of the flesh will not overtake you. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are opposed to one another. So you are not able to do as you desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the penalty of breaking the Torah. And that's the key. If your focus, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And if you're focusing on the 9 fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, faith, goodness, mercy, all these things, then you're not going to be coveting. If you're thanking Yahweh every day, thanking him for the food that he gives you, thanking him for your family, your work, whatever it is you have, you're thanking him, then you're not going to be coveting. It has to be something where we surrender to the Spirit of Yahweh. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. For though we do live on earthly life, yet we do not serve worldly things. Although we live in earthly life, yet we do not serve worldly things. Coveting is all after worldliness. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but of the power of Yahweh to the demolition of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every false thing, lifting up itself against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Messiah. Bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Messiah, right? Thought becomes action, action becomes sin, sin becomes death. That's the coveting spirit. But the thankful spirit, thankfulness becomes praise. Praise becomes glory and fruit, which brings to eternal life. Since coveting starts in the mind, we need to take every thought into captivity. And you can only do that if you're controlling your environment. You can't be around constantly, day in and day out, hours every day around a worldly environment and think it's not going to affect you. This is life and death. We're getting toward the end now. Like we said, we entered a new 7. We're coming toward the end where Yahweh's kingdom is just about getting ready to come on this earth. And if people don't start changing and getting it now, this is you're losing the last opportunity that you have here. The last scripture I want to go into is Matthew 6. Matthew the 6th chapter. Verse 9. Matthew 6 and verse 9. And it's the prayer from our Heavenly Father, right? They ask Yeshua, teach us to pray. And look what he says. So then, you should pray this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're always glorifying Yahweh's name, praising his name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as it is in the heaven, also on the earth, right? We're looking toward heavenly things, not earthly things. And then he says, give us the bread of our need this day. Give us today our daily bread. So, when we're looking at even the way that Yeshua told us to pray, he told us to pray for now. Pray what you need today, not to pray for things in the future. And so many people, coveting comes from looking ahead. People asking for things. Give me this, give me this, give me this, that they don't need that day. Right? He's saying, pray for what we need this day. And it will stop you from coveting if you're not always looking toward the future of what you need. Tomorrow, you'll see there's something else that you're going to need. But he says, pray what you need today. Go down to verse 19. Do not treasure up for you treasures on the earth where moth and rust cause to corrupt and where thieves dig in and steal. But treasure up for you treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust cause to corrupt and where thieves do not dig in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So that's what it is. Your prayers really tell a lot about you. Are you praying for the work of Yahweh? Are you praying for me and the mission trips? Are you praying for all the new brethren that are coming to faith, that that Yahweh will provide proper leadership and elders, that these people aren't going to be pulled away? Are you praying for the kingdom of Yahweh to come to this earth and stop all the suffering that's going on in the world? Or are most of your prayers just about you? Things that you want, not even things you need that day. Not that the rent is overdue, please help me, Yahweh, or we don't have food today. But praying for all of these things in the future. But treasure up, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. Then if your eye is pure, all your body is light. But if your eye is evil, all your body is dark. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And that's what we said. Coveting is the sin that is not the action. It's the thought. You're not to covet. You're not to think of wanting something that Yahweh hasn't given you, something that belongs to someone else. The eye is the light of the body. How does your eye see things? When somebody comes in and says, hey, Yahweh just blessed me with this, is your eye like, wow, that is so great. I'm so happy for you. Or is it, yeah, that's good, but I didn't get mine. How does your eye see things? How does your eye see things? You know, does your eye see things? Is it always something negative, always something bad? Or is your eye seeing the positive? Is your eye seeing the blessing in it? No one is able to serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or cleave to the one and despise the other. You're not able to serve Yahweh and wealth. Because of this, I say to you, do not be anxious for your soul, what you eat and what you drink, nor for your body, what you put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Right? And he doesn't even say, like I say, he's not even talking about shelter here. He's just saying food and clothing, because you can survive without shelter. You can't survive without food and clothing. Observe the birds of the heaven. They do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Do you not rather excel them? But who of you, by being anxious, is able to add one cubit to his stature? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they do not labor, nor do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as one of these. If Yahweh so enrobes the grass of the field, which is today, and is thrown into a furnace tomorrow, will he not much rather you, O little faith? And I'm telling you, we've been in places of the world, praise Yahweh, not now. Right now, all our brethren are cared for. They do have food. They do have clothing. But years back, we had brethren that did not even have so much as one garment. When, like I said, sometimes in Babylon and Western society, people will wear something once and then they get rid of it. We've had clothes donated to us where tags are still on it, brand new. It was never even worn once, you know, that we would give to the poor brethren. But like he says here, you know, how much is Yahweh going to take care of? Then do not be anxious saying, what may we eat, or what may we drink, or what may clothe us? This is coveting. For after all these things the nations seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I've said this many times, and I'll continue to say it. How converted you are and how spiritual you are is directly connected to how involved you are in the work of Yahweh. Because when you're involved in the work of Yahweh and your focus is on helping people come to salvation, it's on helping fulfill the Matthew 24 commission so that the kingdom of Yahweh can come, then you're not going to be selfishly coveting things for yourself. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, right? And his righteousness. All thy commandments are righteous, Psalm 119, 172. Then do not be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious of itself. Sufficient to each day is its own trouble, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Our prayer should be focused on what we need at that time, not coveting things that Yahweh is not blessing us with. We are told to pray what we need today, not to pray for all our wants in the future. We must seek moderation in everything. Our focus should be on bearing fruit for the kingdom, outgoing concern of others, and not simply personal gain, or lust for power and position, greed, and all other covetous, idolatrous practices. Yahweh has chosen what is best for us and our spiritual well-being. In faith, we must be content and satisfied in what he has chosen as our lot in life, as the test to prove the faithfulness to him. Everything is a test. And what he's given us at that time is for our benefit. No covetous person will be in the kingdom of Yahweh. It is sin and it must be repented of. We must meditate on this, ask Yahweh to show us, as the only commandment, like I said, dealing with thought before the action. If we are coveting, then we will never have a spirit of appreciation
for all that Yahweh is doing in our life. Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.